Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We're nearing 2024, folks, and on today's show, we're going to take a look at who we think could be the big stars of 2024. And I'm not necessarily talking about rookies, although we will talk about some of them. I'm not talking about people who are just coming up from, say, NXT or people that have cut their teeth in AEW and are starting to get some popularity. I'm talking about even established stars. But what we'd like to discuss is, with 2024 looming, there's going to be several top stars, people who have been featured throughout most of 2023 in the main events of all of the various federations, who probably are going to schedule tremendously or keep a very low profile. So we'll get into a little bit of who we think are going to be the top stars in 2024. Before we do get to that, however, a couple of news items to talk about. One, of course, is SmackDown, which aired on FS1, obviously didn't do the ratings that SmackDown would normally do, but ran into a huge problem. Apparently out on the West Coast, even if you tuned into FS1, where SmackDown was supposed to be, half of the show was Major League Baseball. Somehow they got the feed screwed up. I think this only happened on the West Coast. I haven't heard anybody here on the East Coast or anywhere else say it happened to them. But I know out on the West Coast, a lot of people were saying for an hour or more, baseball was being aired. Came home, but set their DVRs, and they thought, what the hell happened? So a really huge screw-up, an unforgivable screw-up. And one, I'll be honest with you, Fox has kind of washed their hands of wrestling, I guess. They're getting rid of SmackDown. I don't see them getting Raw or any of the other wrestling programs. I think Fox experimented with wrestling, decided it wasn't for them. That's a $1 billion investment gone. And I don't think they care. I just don't think they care. But it's a bad look when you tune in to watch your wrestling after you've advertised it week after week. You know, we're going to be on FS1 this week, coming up on this time because of the baseball. You know, we're going to be on FS1. And then you tune into FS1, Mike, and you get baseball anyway.
Absolutely. And this makes it more feasible that SmackDown's going to leave Fox and go someplace else. Maybe back to USA, maybe not, maybe I don't know. It makes it more feasible.
I think they've made the deal. I think SmackDown is definitely USA. I think it's a deal. They just don't know where Raw's going. Raw's leaving. I think SmackDown's coming to USA. That's what I'm hearing anyway. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do with this, but fans were not happy, and a lot of people did not see the product. And it's a shame because, once again, you did the right thing with LA Knight. Now, this is what I'm talking about when I say that the fans are starving for one of their male workers to have that alpha male attitude that none of them seem to do. When we saw the contract signing, LA Knight actually just walked by Roman Reigns in the rampway, never even looked him in the eye. And then basically told him, look, you know, your time's over. I'm sitting here, I'm the head of the table. From where I'm sitting, it looks like I'm the head of the table. He did not acquiesce to Roman Reigns. He did not kiss his ass. He did not say, you did me wrong, and so I'm going to... And he didn't say, well, you're the greatest ever, and I need to prove myself against the greatest ever. He didn't do any of those things. He basically said, look, to me, you're a nobody. This is my time. I'm the fastest rising star here. You're not. I'm taking the title. That's it. No, he's not. But the kind of attitude, Todd, that fans are looking for in one of their male workers.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this reminds me of Stone Cold Steve Austin, what he's doing sort of, you know, like not shaking like Vince's hand or anything or acknowledging the other guy. He pulled like a Steve Austin right there, like I'm sitting here at this end of the table and you're not. And it reminds me
yeah.
of that.
It definitely has a Stone Cold feel to it, Mike.
It definitely does, and that's the thing. I mean, we've said about Stone Cold before. Oh, you're going to suspend me and tell me I can't show up? Well, fuck you. I'm just going to show up anyway, you know?
Yep.
That's what this felt like. You know, that's what we've been saying. Now the point still is there that he's 40 years old. Is LA Knight. We need
yep.
a younger version of that to be coming up sooner rather than later. You know?
Yeah, we really do, and that's exactly what we're going to be getting into somewhat in this show. But, again, even if you're 40, I mean, you could have a great year in 2024. Certainly, you know, AJ Styles has done it when he turned 40, right? And many people had great years in their 40s. So it is possible. And it's probable with the right handling that LA Knight could be one of those people that we're discussing. But again, we're losing a lot of people in both WWE and AEW, and probably in some of the other federations. There's going to be a lot of guys who are just going to slow down now. People are not getting any younger. Your Chris Jerichos are not getting any. How long is Chris Jericho going to keep doing what he's doing? He's already slowed down somewhat. He's not the feature guy he was when AEW first opened their doors. Chris Jericho was it. We've heard Sting is retiring. Ric Flair will never retire, but, I mean, he's not going to be around doing stuff for the most part. The Hardys, same way. You know, how much are they really going to do? It's not like they're going to be the top guys, the featured guys in 2024. So this is what I wanted to delve into a little bit, because wrestling in 2024, you're going to have four, count them four, federations who are really making a bid for your television viewership. WWE, obviously. AEW, obviously. But now, Impact has become TNA, and they are absolutely going to make a full-fledged effort, from what I'm hearing, this product as viable to a mass market as they possibly can. And then you have NWA. Billy Corgan's NWA is going to try to do the same thing on the CW. And while they may need some veterans to help them along, they are going to need guys who can shine in 2024. They're going to need guys who are front and center 100% all the time in 2024. Part-timers like Brock Lesnar is not going to help the WWE. He's not going to help anybody, really, at this point. He's had that run, and I don't know if you could really do a whole lot more with Brock Lesnar. You're going to bring Brock Lesnar back to the WWE to face who? Roman Reigns, he's done it. Bobby Lashley, he's done it. Pretty much he's done it. Cody Rhodes, he's done it. So I don't look to see a ton of Brock Lesnar in 2024. I don't think you're going to. You may see him. But he's not going to be one of these front and center featured guys that these federations truly need. So let's get down to it a little bit and talk about what the first, let's talk about the people the WWE are likely not to get a great year out of, or at least a full. And what I mean by a full year is making them the featured performers. It would be very unlikely, as we said, that Brock Lesnar is a major performer in 2024. He may be a spot performer, but he's not going to be a major performer. Randy Orton may be coming back. I don't see, he could potentially make one more run. 2024 could be his last year. So they might make him a run. They've lost Edge. He's about ready to, you know, cut his schedule in, you know, a major way over in AEW. Bobby Lashley has sort of, you know, he's wrestling here and there, but he's doing a lot more managing. He doesn't seem to be featured as an in-ring performer right now. Big E is coming back, but how much is he going to really be able to do? Sheamus is very unhappy with his current position in the WWE, and he's not getting any younger, and on top of that has injuries. Drew McIntyre currently still hasn't signed that contract. So the WWE is going to need some people who they can rely on very heavily. They've lost Matt Riddle on top of that. Bray Wyatt's unfortunate passing. They're starving for some top-level guys. Now, they've certainly, we could talk about, first off, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso. Let's talk about Jey first. Jey Uso, now that he's a solo guy, my thought process was they're going to push him to the very, very, very top. He seems to have the audience on his side. He doesn't seem to lose a step from tag team wrestling to solo wrestling, so things seem to be working out. But an interesting thing is happening, and that interesting thing is he's not winning a lot of solo matches. In fact, he's losing a lot of them. And the only time they seem to highly enough to let him win is when he's in the tag team, whether it happens to be with his brother or Cody Rhodes or whatever, then he wins. When you put him in there one-on-one, he's losing a lot of matches. So I'm not sure he's going to be a the guy. I think he is going to have a big 2024, though, Mike. I don't know if it's going to be as a quote-unquote main eventer so much as it is going to be a highly thought of upper mid-card to lower main eventer.
Right. And the thing is if Big E comes back and they put the band back together again, And you get Jimmy and Jey back together again. Remember those great matches between those two teams? You could see those matches happen again if those two teams get back together. Because I think what they're heading for with the Usos is that at some point they're getting back together. At some point, you gotta figure they're gonna get back together. Now they may want to try to get Jey over as a, but the problem is as a main event guy. But again, if you're not allowing him to win as a singles wrestler, what's the point?
Well, exactly. And then they got another problem because unlike the Shawn Michaels Marty Jannetty thing, where they were happy to give Shawn Michaels the accolades and to hell with Marty Jannetty. They don't want to do to hell with Jimmy Uso because he's got too much heritage here. They, you know, Roman Reigns doesn't want to do the to hell with Jimmy Uso. Jey doesn't want to. You know, the bloodline, the real bloodline doesn't want to. And the WWE doesn't want to. And Jimmy's not getting over. The only reason Jimmy Uso is getting over is because he keeps attacking Jey. He's not going to get over any other way. So I think eventually you're right. I think what they're going to do here is they're building up Jimmy and Jey to fight each other, which will probably happen at SummerSlam, or maybe they'll stretch it all to WrestleMania. I don't know. Or SummerSlam, what am I saying? Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. I don't know. But past that, what happens to Jimmy? I don't think he's that over as a heel. Jay has the potential to be over as a face and get large, but not if they keep letting him drop matches. Jimmy, I think, is stuck in that second banana type thing, and unless they reform that tag team, I don't see Jimmy being a major player. And for that reason alone, that's why I think they will reform that tag team. I think what you'll see is Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso battle it out for however long they're going to battle it out for, and then something will happen, and they will reconcile their differences and go after the tag team championship. So what's your thoughts on Jay and Jimmy, Todd? Do you see either one of them as being, you know, a major, major player in 2024?
My opinion with this, like you said, I think you're going to see maybe Jey Uso probably be a bigger superstar than Jimmy is. And, you know, like you said about Jimmy, he's not that big of a superstar like Jay. And Jimmy needs Jay as a tag team to get over.
Yeah, Jimmy's just... He's every bit as good an athlete, and he's every bit as good a wrestler. What he doesn't have every bit as good of is he doesn't have the acting ability, and he doesn't have the mic skills of Jay. And he didn't have the benefit of some of those great interactions with other wrestlers that really helped Jay along. Now it's going to be sink or swim for Jay. They're going to put him out there as a solo, and they're going to see what he can do, but they've already sort of done that, and if they were going to make him something big, he wouldn't be dropping a ton of matches. They usually don't have the guys that they're going to feature majorly drop tons of matches. He's dropped his last couple. Now, I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know whether we're going to see Jimmy go back to being face or Jay go back to being heel. I don't know. But I do think that reformation of the tag team is definite and will probably happen sometime in 2024, probably sooner rather than later if they figure out that Jimmy's not going to get over. So let's talk about another guy that they're probably going to cycle down a little bit in 2024, and that's Roman Reigns. How long can he hold this? He's already clearly said he wants greatly reduced schedule. He's already got some commitments to possibly do some movies or something. He's still relatively young, but remember that he still has, you know, the leukemia thing going on. He has a family that he wants to be with. The wrestling, but he's one of those people, I think, that was so determined to be the top guy. And then when he got to be the top guy and accomplished it, now he's like, well, I did what I wanted. And now I can sort of take it a little easier. I don't see him being that huge in 2024. I don't see him carrying the belt through 2024. I just don't. What I do see for Roman is taking a lot of time off, probably reforming the bloodline in some way, shape, or form, all as faces and not heels, and being one of those guys that show up here and there. So I think you'll probably see a lot less of Roman Reigns in 2024, Mike.
I think so, too. I mean, look, think about this. Let's go back a while back, and Hogan was in the middle of his run when he was really big, right? He held it for, what, 3 years or whatever it was, the championship, right? Up until about the time when the Ultimate Warrior was coming up, and all of a sudden, well, we started to hear, you know, Hogan's going to go make movies and this, that, and the other TV shows and commercials and all this stuff. And it's like, and that was at the point at which the Warrior was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So now, right now, we don't, Reigns is at that point right now that Hogan was, as he was kind of plateauing out, not plateauing out on his first run, and we really don't have that warrior guy, the warrior that's the guy that's coming up, that's rising up to the top to where, you know, we can say, okay, he can Roman Reigns can go. We're gonna get this championship around Warrior's waist or around this guy's waist, Mr. X's waist, and he can go do his movies and commercials and stuff like that. I don't know if we have that guy yet. Yeah, Cody Rhodes still hasn't, quote, finished his story, end quote. And we know what that finish is. The finish is eventually Cody is going to get that championship, eventually. Now, how soon is eventually? We don't know yet. But, yeah, I foresee that Roman Reigns is going to take a step back, yeah, and probably we're going to replay all the stuff with the Bloodline, with the Bloodline as faces.
That's what I would presume would happen, with Roman being absent a lot of the time. Now, we talked about Cody Rhodes, so let's talk a little about him in 2024. I do think that this is where the WWE wants him to be. I think the WWE probably wants him to be the champion in 2024 and carry them through a good portion of it. His popularity with the fans is definitely there, but they've been using him very sparingly. He'll come out and do a little bit of an interview or a segment or talk to the audience a little bit, but his wrestling has just been here and there. I think he's going to have to step up now. I think now if you're going to go ahead and put the your eggs in his basket, he has to be more than the guy that comes out in the suit and says, so what do you want to talk about? And then talks about Jey Uso, or then talks about what's happening on Monday Night Raw, or then happens to talk about something else. He's got to start wrestling on a regular basis and be that sort of John Cena fighting champion. I'm here every week. I've got my belt. That type of champion. The antithesis of what Roman Reigns was, who was, I held the championship belt, but how many times did I defend it? Cody's up to that task. I guess that's where you're going to have to go. He's one of those guys who's definitely the person you're attempting to at least push in 2024 to the very, very pinnacle. Now, will the fans desert him? I don't know. They did in AEW, right? For a while in AEW, he was all the rage, and every time he stuck his head through the curtain, he got a tremendous ovation, and then something happened. And I think that something is, after a little while, Cody Rhodes, and again, I've met Cody Rhodes many times, and he's not like this at all. So what I'm about to say, he's not really like this in real life, but he has a smug sort of an attitude sometimes. In the ring, he comes off smug at times. Now, he's not, like I said, in real life, he is not smug at all. Nice guy. But for some reason, his wrestling persona comes off smug sometimes, and fans get sick of it quick. WWE knows that. That's why they're guarding him. So I don't know. I do think Mike's right. I think that they've always wanted him to have the title. It's just a matter of when. And I think when has got to be really soon, Todd. I would not know when is WrestleMania.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this Cody Rhodes thing, and by the looks of it, it's wearing thin with the fans. He keeps coming out wearing the suits every week and everything. If you're going to be the American Nightmare, do not wear a suit every week.
Yeah, no, it doesn't really fit, but I don't know if it's wearing thin. They've protected him pretty well, and he's very fan-friendly, so that's a good thing. He makes a good appearance. He talks well, so he can be that guy that goes on the talk shows and represents the Federation well. He has all of his T's crossed and his I's dotted as far as being the top guy, Mike.
He really does, and this is his it's going to be his time. And with the fact that you're not really going to do anything with the Jey Uso as a number one guy, and right now, Rollins is the number one guy, but how much longer? So, I mean, we could be staring down the barrel of Cody Rhodes, not only getting the Unified Championship and maybe unifying, getting the new WWE Championship as well. You know, so.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up Seth Rollins because this one is a mystery. Seth Rollins is such a highly conditioned athlete that if you wanted to run with him big time in 2024, I'm sure you could. He's very over with the fans, continues to be over with the fans. He's smart enough to reinvent himself every time he sees it starting to even out a little bit. But he does have some real-life nagging injuries, and he has a child. Now, what helps is that his wife is also in the Federation and they can travel together. That certainly helps. That certainly helps. But Becky Lynch also has some injuries. He's got some injuries. And, you know, I think it was a few years ago, I heard a Seth Rollins interview where he said, there's going to come a time when I don't want to be a 50 or 60-year-old guy who can't walk without a cane and limping around and can't do things because I put too much into that. And I think he might be approaching this time where he's going to be also a guy who says, look, maybe I can do one more big run or so, and then I'm going to start taking it easier, like AJ Styles. AJ Styles has sort of been doing that for the last couple of years. You'll see AJ Styles for a little while, then he goes away, a little while, and he goes away. He's protecting his body. He's protecting himself. And you're probably going to lose AJ even more in 2024. You're probably going to see less of him. So he's not going to be the front and center guy. So right now we have Cody Rhodes, who's definitely going to be a front and center guy. I imagine they're going to try to get Jay, but I still say the tag team's coming back. How about Solo? Well, I got to tell you, I don't have a ton of faith. Solo Sikoa's main draw was he's the toughest one of them. He's the guy that's unbeatable. He's the guy who's impervious to pain. He's the strongest. He's the this. He's the that. And then you cycle them off where LA Knight just beat his ass. Cody Rhodes beat his ass. John Cena's about to beat his ass. And I'm saying to myself, well, you've really lost that magic in Solo, and he's not great on the mic. So I'm not sure that Solo is the answer, Mike. I think he's a nice piece to the puzzle, and he's a guy that you can use in 2024. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about breakout guys who you're saying, wow, they had career-defining or they are the featured people. I don't think Solo's going to be one of those.
I don't think he is either, and that's the point. And there are a couple of other guys that I think could be, but they've kind of cycled them down and we'll get around to them. But yeah, you're right about both Becky Lynch and they've had their injury and Seth Rollins. They both had their injuries. And remember, Becky wants to try and go off and do some movies,
yep.
A movie or two here and there. So she's not going to be around. So somebody else is going to have to step up in the women's division. And I think there's going to be a time when Charlotte Flair, yeah, they want her to win 16 titles, right? But there's going to be a time when Charlotte Flair is going to cycle down. A great bit.
That's exactly correct. We're definitely going to get to the women's division. And don't worry, AEW fans, we're getting to the AEW division as well. But I want to stick to one division at a time so we can, you know, adequately do this. Let's talk about two guys who could really step up. One of them is Damian Priest. Damian Priest has the size. He has good on the mic. He's good enough in the ring. But he's not going to do it with the Judgment Day. He's not going to do it with his current persona. You had his persona right the first time, but I do think you needed to change it. I do think you needed to get him involved in something so the fans really got to understand who he is before you went back to him. Now that everybody knows who Damian Priest is and what he's about, I think you need to flip him. I think you need to get him back on track as being a face, but a much more macho face. That guy who's going to come out here and say, I don't give a damn who it is, I'm going to fight him. He's sort of that way anyway as a heel, but it would be much better as a face. His persona, he doesn't really do that much that's wrong. He does some group jumping, but he's not a cowardly heel necessarily. And he's not a hopeless heel who can't win on his own. So even though he accepts help gladly, he would be the guy I think could have a big 2024. But you're going to have to do something. Remember the Randy Orton moment when he was in the group with Ric Flair and Batista and Triple H, and they hoisted him on his shoulders and then dropped him. Damian Priest needs that kind of a moment, Mike. He needs a moment where everyone he thought was his friends betrays him. And then the fans, I think, will sympathize with him and get behind him just like they did Randy Orton.
Right. And here's something else that he needs. If you're going to flip him, you want him to do it with them turning on him, but you could absolutely bring back in his friendship with Bad Bunny. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely.
They went down in Puerto Rico, but how long has that been, right? That's been what?
Yeah.
Months? So it's about time for Bad Bunny to show up again. So if at some point in the next 4 to 6 months, you decide, well, we're going to flip Damian Priest, one of the better ways to do it is to have Bad Bunny come back in and help do it. And you don't need these guys. I know you can do it. You've done it before. I know you can do it. And, you know, that type of thing, you know,
The way you could really handle this to make it work, Rhea Ripley has been actively trying, and so has Finn Balor, to get other people to join the Judgment Day. It's Damian Priest who's resisting and saying, I don't want McDonough. Now, Damian Priest also did try to recruit Jay, but that's because he was told we want more members. So it would be very interesting if they did recruit somebody. Let's say they recruited a big name like a Drew McIntyre or somebody. And then they said, you know, when Damian Priest is all smiles saying we got stronger, we've added a new member, they could say, it's not exactly that way. See, all this time we were looking for somebody, we were just looking for your replacement. Because you've never been a team player. You're the one who started the problems with Finn. You're the one that started the problem with J.D. McDonough. You have too big of an ego. You are not the right person for this group anymore. You're out. That would be very interesting. And it would cause you to think back and say, oh, my God, yeah, that's kind of obvious. They were looking for another person. And it always seemed like they're looking for a replacement for somebody. And apparently the person they're looking for the replacement for was Damian Priest. That at least would make sense, Mike.
That would at least make sense. And then like I said, you could very easily get Bad Bunny to come in there either before or after. If you bring in before they kick him out or after, but if they bring him in before, he could say, very easily say, hey, look, watch your back. You know, as a friend, I'm telling you to watch your back. You know, and then if it's after, then you said you could have him say, look, we've been talking, and I told you to watch your back before, and I don't want to look smug and say I was right about this, but you know what I said to you, and you know it's been correct all along. You know.
Well, I mean, you could easily just have Damian Priest say, "Well, I guess I'm on my own because ain't nobody in that locker room that I did all these horrible things to. Ain't nobody gonna help me, and certainly nobody trusts me on the other end of it." And then if you did have maybe a situation where a J.D. McDonagh and Finn Balor were both beating him down, if Bad Bunny came to his rescue, works. Because then he'd say, well, I at least have one friend, even though we did have our problems for a while. Now, that leads to somebody else who could be bigger than we think in 2024, and that's Dominic Mysterio. I'm seeing in Dominic Mysterio something different now, and that is more confidence. For a while, Dominic Mysterio, when he was a face hanging around with his dad and the tag team and everything, you could tell he was trying hard, but he was very unconfident, very green, very scared of making mistakes, and he just didn't have his shtick down. Then when he got into the New Day, he was trying so hard to be a badass, and it was not working. Then along came Rhea Ripley, and she said, okay, since you can't be a badass, you're almost going to be like this wimp that I just lead around by the nose. And that worked for a little while. But now I'm seeing something different. Now I'm seeing Dominic Mysterio not always come out with Rhea Ripley. And he's coming off as a very smug, arrogant, hoodlum, punk. And it's working. And I do think you have a golden opportunity with Dominic Mysterio to give him a major part in this federation in 2024. His mic skills have gotten better. His ring skills have gotten better. His confidence has gotten way, way higher. Always have on the back burner, always have the possibility of a reconciliation with his father. You don't have to turn him face, but you always got it on the back burner if you think, oh, this didn't work. It's always good to have a plan B, and there is a plan B with Dominic. So I think, Todd, Dominic could be a major player in 2024 if he's handled correctly.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Dominic Mysterio, he could be like a big player if they handle him right.
Yeah, we'll just see if they handle him right. Now, there's a lot of other people who I think the WWE had great plans for that I don't think is going to work out, and that is I don't see Johnny Gargano working out. He's a great wrestler. He's a great athlete, but there's something missing. Bronson Reed, there's just something missing. Austin Theory was going to be the guy. He was the golden boy, and you've kind of given up on him. You put him in a tag team now with Grayson Waller, and he's got the tools, but you gave him a crack, and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. I don't know. I don't see him either being a major player. So who have you got? Well, can Sami Zayn continue to be this hot? Maybe. Kevin Owens, I don't see it. I don't see him be. Kevin Owens has always been that middle of the pack guy. You can build him up enough to go for a title shot, but he never wins. You can build him up for a main event match, but it's not going to be that big of a deal. He's a fine guy to have in your roster because you can put him in a couple of different places. Same way with Sami Zayn. But I'm talking about those guys who are really just electric, who's going to drive your federation. And so far, I only see Cody. Possibility of Damian Priest if you handle him right. Possibility of Dominic if you handle him right. Jimmy and Jay, we'll see. you know, there's some possibility. So let's talk about LA Knight. Does he have the longevity here? Or is this just going to be one of those things where the fans are like, we like to yell yeah, and we like to yell LA Knight, but that wears off after 6 months? It depends. It could be the first if you mishandle LA Knight. If you continue to give him really good opponents, people that he can feed off of, people that will help escalate his popularity, then LA Knight's going to have a great 2024. And he is going to be one of your feature guys. If you just throw him to the wolves in Saudi Arabia and then put him in a mindless feud with Bronson Reed or somebody or some minor character on SmackDown, forget it. Forget it. It's not going to work. He needs to be front and center like Steve Austin, like a Rock, like a Shawn Michaels or a Triple H. You got to have him in there always buzzing around the main event scene. You didn't cycle down Steve Austin. You didn't cycle down The Rock. You just didn't. They lost matches, but you didn't cycle them down after they lost. They were still your top guys. That's the way you have to handle LA Knight. He can lose a match, but he can't lose the spotlight. So you can't put him in some feud that doesn't matter, that people are saying, oh, well, big deal, he's going to win that. Who cares? If it's a who cares situation, you're going to lose LA Knight's popularity. It's always got to be a situation where you're rooting for him because the guy he's fighting is the person you really want to see lose. If you can do that, then, Mike, I think LA Knight will have a really, really strong 2024.
Right. In terms of cycling down, have they ever cycled down the New Day?
Not really. Not tremendously, anyway.
Not tremendously. That's right. And that's once you cycle them down, there's some guys that once you cycle them down, they'll never get back to where they were. But there are others that once you cycle them down, they can get back to where they were. I think you could see one in LA Knight that if these now it depends on when they cycle them down, right? If they cycle them down too soon, then they've ruined them. The timing's got to be there. And as far as Dominic Mysterio, here's another thing that they could do. We know there's going to be a reconciliation at some point with him and his dad. What if he gets out of the New Day and turns face and somehow, some way, becomes the new leader of the LWO?
Absolutely could happen. Absolutely could happen. These are all quality things that you could do with them. Hell, Damian Priest could be a part of that, to be honest, right? He has a Latino heritage. So there's so much you could do. You got to handle these characters right. Now, I know there's going to be people saying, well, if you handle anybody right, they could be the main eventer. Not really, because we've tried that. Austin Theory has all the talent in the world. He is a great wrestler. He's not a good wrestler. He's a great wrestler. And he's very entertaining to watch in the ring. But there's something that just doesn't connect to enough fans. I don't know what it is because I liked it. I liked him. But it's not working. It clearly didn't work. And the WWE knows it didn't work. So, you got to have more than that. They gave him all the opportunity. Now, here's another one that's going to surprise you. I don't see Gunther. I did at one time. But when he loses, and he's going to lose, I don't know where you go with him. That's a problem. Do you shoot him up for the main event? I guess you could do that. I guess you could shoot him up to whatever the biggest title is, to whatever he's show he's going to be on in 2024. But he has his problems, and his problems are twofold. One, he's very limited on the mic. And two, his style gets old after a really short period of time. And his style and the way you're booking him all relies on he almost never loses. when you get to that point where you're saying, well, this is a guy who's not supposed to be superhuman. He's not like, you know, Hulk Hogan or the Warrior or the Undertaker. He's just a guy, and he never loses. Then when he starts losing, you got a problem. I don't see any potential in turning him face. So he's a one-trick pony there. I don't know. I think he's a guy who could, you know, fill out your roster nicely, but I don't see him being, you know, the face on the lunchbox, so to speak, you know. In fact, there's very few really in WWE. I know they're talking about bringing up Bron Breakker. He's got potential. He's definitely got potential. But I think one thing that's going to hurt him is he's such a big power wrestler in NXT, and he's not that big. And it's hard to be a power wrestler when you're half the size of Drew McIntyre, you know, when you're half the size of Bobby Lashley. Those are your power guys. Now, I know people like Chad Gable, they say, hey, pound for pound, he's powerful, but they're not really portraying Chad Gable as a powerhouse. They're portraying him as a really great Olympic wrestler who just happens to be very strong. When your gimmick is that you're a powerhouse, then you got to kind of look like a powerhouse. And when you're standing across the ring from a Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley, you got to be close to that size, and he's not. So I don't know. I mean, we all thought Gargano was going to be a shoe-in. It's not really working out. We all thought Ciampa was going to be a shoe-in. I don't know, man. These guys are great wrestlers, but they don't seem to have that whatever, that intangible thing. Now, over in the women's division, Mike's absolutely correct. How much more mileage are you going to get out of Charlotte Flair before she says, look, I'm ready to settle down a little bit, and I don't know if I want this anymore? She's got to be in her late 30s. Asuka's already in her 40s. Becky Lynch has one child. If she has another one at any given time, you could probably say that's the end of that. So who do we have? Well, we have Bianca Belair, certainly. That's one. But you're going to need more than one. Who's really the next face of the women's division? If it's not, well, let's say this. Who can take 2024 and make it the face of the women's division? You lost Ronda Rousey, who was a big name. Charlotte's going to be spotty. Becky's probably going to be spotty. Asuka's probably going to be spotty. So, I mean, you're looking at Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill. I haven't even seen wrestle yet, but I have this feeling. It may not be as good as people think. I've already seen her wrestle in AEW. And I have this feeling that it may not catch on like they think it's going to. So you better be prepared with some more. Now, Shayna Baszler doesn't have the personality to do it. Tegan Knox doesn't have the personality to do it. Bayley does, but she's gotten complacent. I don't see it. Most of the women they brought up from NXT, they're so vanilla plain, it's just like, nah, that's not going to work. You need somebody who's more exciting than that. I think they're still looking. I don't know if Alexa Bliss is ever coming back. If she is, she certainly has the potential. But, Mike, I'm looking around the women's division, and I'm saying, you know, these women are getting into their late 30s and stuff, and Asuka's case in her 40s, and you can't rely on them to have, like, a stellar year next year.
And even you've even got a 40, almost a 50-year-old woman that you're going to give a run to, and you know, we'll see about that. And you still got Io Sky, who's got the championship, who you can get something out of, right? You know, she's still decently young enough to get something out of. You got a few other women, but again, Jay Cargill, you know, that this is a point where we need to find somebody. I mean, Charlotte's 37 years old, And we know that they want her eventually to be 16-time person, right? We know that. That's coming. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen before she – probably sometime before in the next 3 years before she reaches 40, right? And we don't know what the hell they're doing with Nikki Cross right now. She's another one that has the potential. She's still young enough. She has the potential, if they handle her right, to be the face of the division, right?
Yeah, could be. Could be, but I, you know, again, I don't see it, to be honest with you. I like her and you like her. But they've done a lot of things with her, and I, you know, they gave her the championship. It didn't work. I know it was as a superhero and it was dumb, but still. I'm looking for the people, and I'm still saying, I think the WWE is blind to this. I think the WWE is saying, well, we've got our ducks in a row. We've got Charlotte Flair. She's going to have a great 2024, maybe. But again, she's getting up there in age, and she wants to do less matches. Oh, don't worry. Becky Lynch is going to have a great 2024, maybe, but she's starting to be very injury prone. Oh, we can still rely on Asuka. I don't know. Asuka looks like she's lost her enjoyment from the WWE. There was a time when I thought Asuka was just eating this up and having the time of her life. She doesn't look like it anymore. And I'm saying to myself, I don't think it's Jade Cargill that they're going to try. I don't know if that's going to work. Is Alexa Bliss going to come back with the same fire? I don't know. Bianca Belair will be there and be strong, so that's going to be one. And then after her, I'm scratching my head because I see a lot of vanilla plain people. I see a lot of people that I'm just saying to myself, eh. Chelsea Green has the personality and has the skill, but they've locked her into this almost comedically hopeless character, and I don't know if they can pull her out and make her a main eventer. I don't know if they can. But certainly, if you take a look around, Dakota Kai's not going to be able to do it. Io Sky is a great worker, but she doesn't have the personality to do it. Tegan Knox is not going to be able to do it. Zoe Stark has a chance as far as being, she's certainly going to be one they feature in 2024, but I don't know if she's got the personality to be that. So I think we're going to get stuck with seeing the old timer, so to speak, the same people you're always relying on in the women's division. I think the WWE is going to keep right on relying on them, Todd. I think they think Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Asuka, those are going to be their staples.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's always been that way for how long? Since 2012 or 13, bringing back old timers? Like, not just the women's division, the men's division too?
Tough. I mean, they got to try to feature some more younger people, and just in case, because you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know what's going to happen. I'm looking at the WWE roster, and I'm seeing people that I don't see being huge. I mean, who do we got? B-Fab is still in there. She's not going anywhere. Bayley's going to keep doing exactly what she's doing. Bianca Belair, we said yes, will be one of them for sure. But, I mean, Candice LeRae, what has she done? Nothing. Carmella, is she even coming back? I don't know. I guess she might. Charlotte Flair's getting to the point where, you know, she's going to get that championship one more time. There's no doubt about that. Is she going to be a major player? I guess, in 2024. But, you know, fans would like to see some new major players. Dakota Kai's not going to do it. They've tried with her. Nothing special. Certainly Raquel Rodriguez is not going to be able to do it. I mean, I think if you're going down to NXT, you got a chance with Tiffany Stratton. And maybe Gigi Dolan. Gigi Dolan has a ton of personality. Indy Hartwell's not going to do it. I'm going to say that, you know, Tiffany Stratton could be one, Mike, that has a really, really, really good 2024. And maybe Gigi Dolan.
Maybe so. But also think about this. And they haven't put her in the ring yet. And we know she's good in the ring. And she's doing good with this personality she has. but Valhalla, if they can get her in the ring and get her winning, all right.
I mean, they'd have a chance with her, but I think that they just look at her and they see the same girl that was in the, you know, Riot Squad and say, I don't think they see, I think she's fallen into that category of Nikki Cross, where the WWE just sees her as a, she's an also-ran. She's here if we need her, but we're not going to run with her. I think that's the way the WWE looks at it. Right now, I think the WWE is looking through rose-colored glasses, thinking, well, we're always going to have these same people. Don't worry. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Bayley, they're going to be the top people. Okay. And then in the men's division, they're thinking the same thing. Oh, don't worry about it. Roman Reigns is still here, and Randy Orton's coming back. And AJ Styles, you're relying on 40-year-old guys in the mid-40s. To have yet one more great year where they bust their ass and work every single day. Or every single Raw or SmackDown. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Should be fun to find out who they're going to push. Certainly, there's nobody on the roster currently that I'm looking at anyway that I think is going to rise above what they're already doing other than who we've said. I mean, I'm looking at NXT guys even, and I'm saying, who are you going to bring up, really? Are you going to bring up Trick Williams? I don't know. Is he going to have a great year? I don't know. I don't think so. Now, here's a guy that's underrated, and I really honestly think he could have a great year if they do something with him, and that's Karrion Kross. You know, I just listened to a video of Karrion Kross in a gym, and he was coaching a guy on a bench, but he was doing it as Jesse the Body Ventura. And he has Jesse the Body Ventura down to the point where if you closed your eyes, you would swear that that was Jesse Ventura talking. It's not like a halfway decent imitation. It's dead on perfect. If he has that kind of skill where he can mimic up these guys and he knows their shtick and their voice, why don't you let this guy be more than just the guy who says TikTok and growls in a microphone? Give him a chance to be, you know, a little freedom on the microphone and see what he can do. He has a personality. And his personality is a ton better than the character. So forget the character. You want to still call him Karrion Kross? Call him Karrion Kross. But drop the nonsense. It's not working. He doesn't look remotely occultish. And just let him be the person he is. I don't know if you saw this thing, Mike, but if you didn't, you got to go and search on YouTube for Karrion Kross does Jesse Ventura impersonation. You'll be blown away.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And think about it. They had, what's his name, that was doing Macho Man at one point as well. Remember Sandow? He was doing the Macho Man gimmick, right? Macho Mandow. So he's another one, but he's gone. But anyway, yeah, put these guys, let them be themselves. If they're that good at doing that, then, I mean, and we've said it before, you could be looking at a Macho Man Elizabeth type of thing, except that Scarlett can be a person in the ring. And by the way, it might not be their time yet, but two people that are there on in NXT as with the female division, the Rock's daughter and Santino Morella's daughter are down there. So it may not be their time yet, but I think it's getting close, particularly for the Rock's daughter.
Yeah, we'll see if she's got what it takes. And Morella's daughter as well. I do think, though, getting back to Karrion Kross, if you just let him be himself, he could potentially have a really good 2024. You said you're going to repackage him. run with them. There are other people who, when you let them be themselves, like the New Day, look what happened. When you tried to make the New Day characters, it wasn't working. Big E was Dolph Ziggler's bodyguard for a while. How'd that work out for you? Kofi Kingston with a fake Jamaican accent, how'd that work out for you? As soon as you let them just sort of be themselves, but amped up, man, oh, man, you caught lightning in a bottle. Give it a shot. I think your talent coordinators sometimes are a little weird, too, because if I took a look at Karrion Kross, the first thing that comes to my mind is not, oh, he looks like some kind of a cultish, cult member-ish, psychopathic, whatever. He doesn't look like that at all. Not at all. He looks like a bouncer at a nightclub, but the guy who would, you know, put his arm around you and escort you out the door friendly if he could get away with it. He doesn't look like that type of guy. I don't know why you're trying to make him that type of guy. He looked better in NXT when he had his head shaved and stuff, but it still wasn't the same. I mean, you take a look at somebody like The Undertaker, and you're like, yeah, that's what he looked like, all right. Right? This guy doesn't come off with those vibes. He just doesn't. And as far as Scarlett, well, listen, she can be into all of that, you know, ghostly stuff and witchcraft stuff. And, yeah, she looks like that. But the bottom line of the situation is any girl does if you fix her up right. It's very easy to do that gimmick. It's not so easy for the guy. And he doesn't do it well. And he's a very, very articulate, well-spoken student of wrestling who can take a microphone and be somewhat entertaining. Remember when Rusev did nothing but growl and Lana did all the talking? And then finally, you let Rusev be Rusev and you're like, wait a minute. He's very entertaining. Fans are starting to take to him. He's funny. He's witty. He's quick-witted. He's good on the mic. He has that ability, and you let him have that ability, and what ended up happening? So give it to him. Give him that chance at least. What do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose. He's on your roster anyway. Let's see. Who else have we got that has a chance here? Liv Morgan. Listen, Liv Morgan has the look, but you've done it. You've been there, done that. Didn't work out for you. I will tell you somebody, and I know a lot of people are going to get upset when I say, but I'll tell you somebody who could really be the face of the WWE in 2024, not the only face, but somebody who's front and center and really, really light it up, Logan Paul. The problem with Logan Paul is he's got so many oars in the water. And I don't know if he wants to give up any of those oars to be a WWE superstar, and that's what he would have to do. In order for him to really have that 2024 that I'm talking about, you'd have to tell him you can't do no more boxing, and you can't be having your weekly, you know, show and all this stuff. You're just going to have to concentrate on being a WWE superstar. I don't know if he would do that, Todd, but if he was able to do it or could do it or wanted to do it, I think he's a very good possibility.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, he could be a good possibility, but I don't think Logan Paul will give up his boxing career or his YouTube sensation career and everything. Like you said, he's just not in too much of being a full-time WWE guy.
See, that's the thing about Logan Paul, Mike. He's not going to give up his outside sources of income. I don't necessarily blame him. He's been a bit of an entrepreneur, and he's done very well. And I'm not 100% sure it would be the smartest thing for him to do to throw that all under the bus.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, what would happen if he was given the ultimatum? We need you, you know, and we want you, and we're paying you now. Would never let them do this. Whatever we're paying you, we'll pay you, we'll double it, you know, type thing to get you here full time. Well, no, we'll see. Now, one other thing I want to say about who could have potential in the women's division, watch Alexa Lopez, who was once with remember, she was the original one that was with what's his name?
That's in
LWO right now. You know.
Yeah, El Legado del Fantasma. Yeah.
Yeah, El Legado del Fantasma. And so if they actually do something, she's got a personality. She's good in the ring. She can speak well. Get her up there. I know you like. I know they like what they're doing with Zelina Vega, but Zelina Vega is not. I mean, she's good in. She's all right in the ring, but she's not Electra Lopez. All right.
Yeah, and she's never going to be because there's so much water under the bridge again. That's the problem with some of the WWE people. They've kind of ruined them. And now to bounce them back, that's very difficult. Very difficult. So here's what we think as far as WWE. Cody Rhodes is definitely going to have a stellar 2024. He's probably going to be the champ. I think Logan Paul is going to go on to much greater heights in 2024. He's probably going to wrestle a little bit more. I don't think he's going to be full-time, but he's going to wrestle a little bit more, and he's probably going to be featured a little bit more. I think Damian Priest is going to have an outstanding 2024. I do think he's flipping face. I do think he's going to be a featured player. Jimmy and Jay are probably going to reform that tag team, and they'll be featured in the tag team division. I don't think they're going to be featured as they are now. I think the shine is coming off of some of the other people. I think you're going to see a lot less of Roman Reigns. You're going to see a lot less of AJ Styles. You're going to see some of these guys not work out, like Bronson Reed. I don't think he's going to work out. I don't necessarily think maybe Gargano and Ciampa will work out in the tag team division, but you know, I don't think that's a long-term thing, and they'll have an okay year probably, but it's not going to be these front-and-center type guys. I don't even think Gunther's going to be a front-and-center type guy, because I think as soon as he drops, it's going to be tough to find another program for him to fit in that fans will buy. Those are your top people in the women's division, certainly Bianca Belair, and then I think they're going to go with the standbys. I think they're going to just try to get as much as they can out of Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Asuka, and the same old, same old. That's what I think. Yes, Jade Cargill's come in. We'll see what they can get out of her. But I don't think it's going to be anything earth-shatteringly different in the women's division. I think whoever's there now is there. You may bring up one or two people. As far as the bringing up is concerned, I would consider Bron Breakker, bringing him up. I would possibly consider bringing up Trick Williams. Aside from that, in the men's division, I don't know. I'd keep people kind of where they are, I think. Let's talk about AEW, because AEW's got the same problem. How much more are you going to get out of Chris Jericho? How much more are you going to get out of Jon Moxley? How much more are you going to get out of Christian? How much more are you going to get out of Edge or the Hardys? I don't know that much more. So now you're looking down the barrel of, well, who's your future? Who's the guys? You know, who's the guy? And I see two off the top of my head. And one of them may not re-sign. And that's MJF. Certainly MJF, he's going to have a great 2024 no matter where he ends up. Let's just say that. Doesn't matter where he ends up. He's going to have a great 2024. The second guy I think has a chance is Ricky Starks. Seen him in NWA, was pretty impressed with him in NWA, but he's done far, far better in AEW, I think. He's come a long way. He's better on the microphone now than he was, a little bit better in the ring. He's really got his you know, character down. Always was a good athlete. Those are the two, top of my head, I think, are going to have great years. I just don't know if it's going to be great years in AEW, Mike, because I know both of those guys are on the WWE radar.
I think so, too. And one other thing, we need to put an asterisk by Lexus King in WWE, because I think they're just starting up with him. He could very well be part of the future for the WWE. All right, but as far as these other guys, you know, they're probably gonna lose MJF. There's a definite. I mean, what's his name's not getting any younger. He's in his early 30s now, and he may want to say, okay, I've done all I can do, being basically an indie guy. It's time for me to go take the money and run, Ricky Starks. And we know also that Taz wants his son to go to the WWE as well. So that's another one they might very well be losing to the WWE that could have potential, right? So they could be losing two guys that have done it and one that has the potential of doing it in Hook. So we got to see what happens with that. And after those three guys, I just don't see it now. As far as the women's division, I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty well set right now. Now, it all depends upon whether or not who comes and who goes and whatever, and what happens with contract-wise with AEW. But I think they're pretty well set in the women's division. I mean, we know what's happening there. We know that Hikaru Shida and Dr. Britt Baker DMD and all these other people that are 1, 2, 3, 4 plus Saraya's there and what's her name is there? I'm blanking on her name now. But anyway, all these gals that are there, we know their thing. They're far better situated in the women's division than the WWE is with all the aging and other things and injury prone people, right? AEW.
Yeah, now the AEW women's division is a lot younger. So I could see the AEW saying, well, we can kind of hold pat with who we have. I somewhat agree with that. And you're going to have some women there that's going to have outstanding years. But, I mean, look, here's what you've got. You've got, again, Chris Jericho. He's not going to have a great 2024. He's just going to be there. Moxley, I think, is, you know, getting cycled down a little bit to the point where I think he's just going to be another guy there. I don't think he's going to have a great 2024. Bryan Danielson's basically retired, said this is his last run. So he may be running Collision or whatever, but he's not going to get in the ring a lot, so I don't see him doing anything. Edge, this is his final hurrah. Christian's doing well, but, I mean, how much are you going to get out of him? You really need to start relying on some of your younger guys. And I look around at some of these younger guys, and I'm saying, well, you know, like Hangman Page, you know, he's had, I don't know, is he going to be a main guy in 2024? I don't think so. He's going to be there, cause you know why. Is Darby Allin, he's going to be there. But I'm talking about these guys who you say, oh, this is going to be their big guys. If they lose MJF or they lose Ricky Starks, they've lost somebody. They've lost something good. Now, you got Jay White over there. We'll see. Could potentially do something with him, I suppose. Aside from that, I mean, it's not going to work with Orange Cassidy, I don't think. Kenny Omega, am I wrong? Is he in his 40s too? I think so. I don't see Adam Cole's too injury prone. I don't see that happening. They've got a huge amount of talent. Their roster is massive. But there's an awful lot of people who are just sort of like they're there, but you don't see them that much. I just don't see them having a stellar main event type 2024, Todd. What's your thoughts on AEW? Who do you think is going to be their top guys in 2024?
Oh, like you said, this is most of the guys are there now. If in 2024, it looks like Tony Khan here probably use them as star attractions. That's it.
Too much of that. They're using the name for star attraction, but who are you going to have that has those light up 2024 year that you can rely on week after week after week, Mike?
Absolutely. And think about it this way, Marcus. Claudio Castagnoli is aging, and so is Moxley. He's aging too. So the youngest guy in the thing, in that grouping right there in the BCC, is, we know who that is, but he doesn't have the he's a good wrestler, but he doesn't have the personality to be an up and coming guy, right?
Yeah.
So where are they going?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher for AEW. It really is. It's going to be tougher for AEW. They're going to have to rely on Moxley. They're going to have to rely on Christian and Edge a little bit in 2024. And they're definitely going to have to rely on re-signing MJF and probably Ricky Starks. And I guarantee you at least one of those two, they're not going to. And if I were a betting man, I'd say WWE will get both. But if they don't get both, I do think they'll get MJF. Because at the end of the day, I don't think MJF is going to be satisfied until he is a WWE superstar. I think that's what he always wanted to be, and that's what he's going to be. Think about it this way. Maybe you grow up watching, let's say, like I did, the New York Mets. And you're a New York Mets fan. And you remember all the players and the people you had pinned up on your wall and collected baseball cards of and wore the jerseys of and everything. And then in college, you get drafted to, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you make it up to the major leagues and you're playing for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you're doing well. And then the Mets make an offer. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, the Arizona Diamondbacks made me a little bit better offer. I know it's going to all get eaten up in taxes, or most of it, but their offer's a little bit better, so I think I'm just going to stay here. Are you going to say, look, it's been my lifelong dream to be a New York Met. I'm going to wear that uniform. I'm going to get to walk on, you know, in the dugouts where my heroes walk. I'm going to get to meet some of them. Well, MJF has an awful lot of that, right? He grew up being a WWE fan. There are people he idolized still there, still wrestling. That's a powerful, powerful negotiation tool. Plus, a guy he trusts in Cody Rhodes is over there, who's a good friend of his. So out of the two, I would say MJF, I don't think they're going to keep MJF. I just don't. I don't even know if it's all that much about the money because, like I said, it gets to the point where you say, well, I mean, you can put another couple hundred thousand dollars onto a contract, but just going to get eaten up in taxes anyway. And is it really worth it when I can be seen in front of 2 million plus people a week and meet all my heroes and be a part of this and be thought of forever as a WWE superstar when that's my dream when I was a boy? And the answer is probably, no, you're not going to be able to keep them. But I think they got to prepare for that, Mike.
They got to prepare for it. And the fact of the matter is, I know a lot of people didn't think much of Brock Anderson, but I think they made a mistake in letting him and his dad go. Because there's no doubt in my mind, Cody being in the WWE, that he's going to want both Arn Anderson and his son there. You know, now, does he have all that sway? We will see. I don't want him there, just like you don't. I'm blanking on his name. But anyway, there are a number of people in that are friends of his that are still young enough to do something that Cody's going to want there. Now, granted, Arn Anderson's older, and he's nothing but a manager, but again, he feels Cody was comfortable with Arn Anderson and all that stuff. So it's a comfort issue. If Cody says, you know, I feel comfortable with Arn Anderson, yeah, all he's going to be doing is managing. We don't need him in the ring, you know. Bring him in and bring his son in.
Yeah, and if I was the WWE, I would also make a bid for Billy Gunn and his sons because I think you would have a really cool story to tell there, you know. Everybody knows who Billy Gunn is in the WWE, and he could come in and, man, it would be really cool. Be really cool. Anyway, let's go now to let's do NWA. What are they going to do? They need some front and center people for the CW. They've got a few guys there. You know, they got EC3. That's fine. But, you know, EC3 has tried in many occasions. Let's be honest. He's tried in many occasions to be the guy. He's never been the guy. He's never been that guy. He fell completely on his face in the WWE. Now, granted, a lot of that wasn't his fault. But still, does he have the personality to do that? I don't think so. I don't think so. So I'm trying to look around and see, is there a guy that I would say that they need to get? Well, look, they don't need to set the world on fire, and they can't afford to. They're not going to hire CM Punk. You know, they don't have the money for that kind of thing, and they shouldn't anyway because he'd be trouble. But I would work very hard to at least try to sign a veteran like Dolph Ziggler who's just been released. I would try very hard. And if they don't, then Impact should. This kind of goes for both Impact and NWA. Somebody needs to sign Ziggler. He's still got several, you know, good years left in him. He's great on the mic. He'd be a good addition for the younger people in the roster as well to learn from. Someone's got to sign Matt Cardona. Now, Matt Cardona's making a fortune on the indies, so you're going to have to pay up. But I got a feeling that Matt Cardona wants to go to the WWE for a couple of reasons. One, his wife is there. Two, he's got something to prove. This is a really big success story because this is a guy who, honest to God, of every single person that got booted, this is the guy that my jaw dropped. Because Zack Ryder, for so long, and Curt Hawkins had been mainstays, guys that just, we know we're never winning anything major. We know we're not going to achieve anything. That's fine. We're here to put people over. We're here to build other people up. We're loyal to the WWE. We'll take our, you know, job seriously, do the best we can, and be happy with our position. Never bitched, never complained, none of that. And still got fired. And that had smart. I don't care what he said. And then he went out to the indies and basically reinvented himself to the point where he could stick his middle finger up at him and say, F you. You let me go. Look what I can do on my own. But how sweet would it be to come back and prove, much like Cody did. You know, Cody Rhodes was a nobody over there, right? They're giving him Stardust, which I still like that gimmick. I don't care what anybody says. I liked it. Having that supervillain and his henchman thing was cool as shit as far as I'm concerned. I know Cody hated it. I loved it. But still, he wasn't successful over there. Now he's back and he's the top guy. If Matt Cardona could do something similar, I think he'd really love to be that. I think he'd really love to be back in WWE and saying, I told you so. And he deserves it. But if not, NWA, he's wrestled for before. Impact, he's wrestled for before. Somebody needs to make him a serious offer to keep him off the indies, at least most of the indies. I know some of these contracts will allow him to do both. And that's fine. But get him. Somebody needs to get him before the WWE does. WWE can't sign everybody, right? They're not Tony Khan. So I'd like to see him probably, if I had my dithers, I guess I'd like to see him in the WWE, Mike. In a way, I wouldn't mind seeing him in Impact or I should say TNA, or NWA, because I think he'd be a great acquisition.
I think so, too. But I think it's, I think right now, I think it could be more likely he goes back to the WWE, because without McMahon there, you know, there's a great chance that he could pull off a thing where he says, hey, look, Triple H, I went off under this name and made myself into a main event guy. I don't want to go back to being Zack Ryder, who was basically a lower mid-card guy, and where I made my hay is this over here. This is what I want to do. It could be that Triple H says, fine, we'll do that. I mean, look, they're allowing Jay Cargill to be Jay Cargill, right? There's a couple of other people that have been brought in under the names that they were before, you know, before they got there. So there's a pretty good chance that they would allow Matt Cardona to be Matt Cardona instead of Zack Ryder.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I don't know about anybody else signing him, because I don't know if they got the money. From what I'm hearing, he's making great money on the indies. So you're going to have to really come up with some cash. I don't know if TNA can come up with that cash. I don't know if NWA can. Certainly AEW could, or WWE. And you're right, he'd rather go back to the WWE. Now, a guy like Dolph Ziggler, you'd have to think about and say, well, where would he do the most good? He'd probably like to be with his brother over in AEW, but is he going to be a featured player over there? No. Now, he could be a very featured player in either TNA or NWA. Absolutely could be. And especially when it comes to NWA, could really lend a hand in helping some of their wrestlers along. NWA tends to get some stragglers, Todd, and I think, you know, a guy like Dolph Ziggler with his experience and everything there would help gel that a lot.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is, if the NWA gets like Dolph Ziggler or something, that'd be great. That'd be great if they get him as a free agent.
Yeah, and I think you could probably, he's probably very doable as far as getting. I don't think he's going to demand, you know, a ton of money. He's going to demand some, that's for sure. But I think, you know, Corrigan's NWA or certainly TNA could afford it. Those would be two good additions. Now, Elias is another one that people may want to think about. I think either TNA or NWA would be great. Now, I don't know if he can come out and do, I don't know if he can do the gimmick with the guitar and things, or if that's the whole WWE's shtick and he can't. But you could certainly come up with something for Elias to do, and I think he'd make a good addition either way, Mike.
I think it would make a good addition either way as well. And basically, you look at the NWA roster, and basically one of the few guys on that roster that's not Matt Cardona or Tyrus or somebody like that, that has the potential, and they just turn him heel, is Kerry Martin.
Right.
All right. So he has the potential to have. He's still young enough that they can turn him heel. They can give him something to do, and within, by the end of the year, he might very well be the world champion, the NWA championship hunt over there. And at some point, may garner a look-see by the WWE at some point. But that'd be a couple years down the line. I'm talking about 2024. Kerry Morton's the one to watch in the NWA.
Now I'm going to surprise you. I know I said Impact would be dumb to get CM Punk if they could afford him because he's a poison in the locker room, but if I could sign him to a deal in which he was only going to appear a few times a year, like a Brock Lesnar type deal where you said, look, we're going to give you this much money and you're in for 4-6 matches and a couple of TV shows. You're not going to be in the locker room a lot. I might do that. If I was TNA, I might do that because that's going to put a lot of eyes on your product. And since you're relaunching, it might be worth it. He's not going to have a lot of time backstage to make enemies or to screw shit up or to rub people the wrong way. Just let him be Brock Lesnar. He comes in, you know, has his own trailer out there or whatever, comes in, does what he's got to do, leaves, gets the hell out of there. You don't have to deal with him. You don't have to do anything much. Let him be that guy. If they want to do that, I think then I would probably be okay, Mike, with TNA signing CM Punk.
Absolutely. And we'll see what they just brought back. They just rebranded themselves. They just, did the whole anniversary thing. I mean, it would have been nice if they would have been able to get AJ Styles, but we know that wasn't going to happen. But it's nice that they did that, and it's nice that now there's a chance that without Dixie Carter there being there in any foreseeable big-time way that they can actually not have the ups and downs they had when she was there, but actually get a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I think they have a really good shot at this. TNA fluctuates between having some really good stuff and some really corny, not so good stuff. What they also need to do is they need to shore themselves up a little bit and get their writing in order so that some of their stuff doesn't come off hokey and some of it come off real good. I got to be more consistent. NWA still has that old school feel to it, so you want to run with that and keep that because that's what makes you different. That's what makes you unique. I hope NWA doesn't change that and just become a lower budget version of AEW or WWE because then it's not going to work. The thing that makes them different is their whole presentation. Keep that. Now, I don't know if you could afford them, but if you wanted to try to get somebody like Arn and his son, oh boy. I would open up the purse strings for that, and I'll tell you why I'd open up the purse strings for that, because you're getting Arn Anderson. You're getting a guy who understands old-school wrestling about as good as anybody in the universe. And you're getting a young and talented wrestler with some credentials. I'd make a bid for that, Mike, if I thought I could achieve it.
I would too, but again, you better make the bid before the WWE does.
Yeah, I know.
That's the only problem. You know, if the WWE goes off and makes the bid, and they make the bid early, then nobody else is going to get him but the WWE. But
no, you're right, and this is the problem with everybody that we're talking about. See, this is NWA and TNA's big problem. That's why I said I would sign CM Punk to that kind of a contract if I was the TNA, because those other two don't want him. You got a big problem, because if, let's just say tomorrow, they said, oh, yeah, Billy Corgan's going to talk to Arn Anderson and maybe bring him and his son in, and Arn's going to help run production and everything. WWE could take him away in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Somebody else is floating around out there, like Dolph Ziggler. You say, oh, we're going to bring in Dolph Ziggler. AEW could take him away in a heartbeat. All they got to do is find out, oh, somebody else made him an offer. Oh, we'll make him a much better offer. You're not going to compete with WWE and AEW if you're TNA and you're an NWA. You're just not. So you are going to get saddled with the people they don't want. I mean, I'm sorry. That's it sounds terrible, I know, but it's the truth. So the biggest name you have, potentially able to sign anyway, would be CM Punk, because they don't want him. He's not working for Tony Khan anymore, and apparently he's not working for Triple H. So that cuts it down. Your two big competitors are now gone. So that's why I said I'd make that deal if I could. All these other guys, like Matt Cardona, the minute that somebody makes him a qualified offer, WWE's going to sign him. Or AEW's going to sign him. You got a real problem if you're Billy Corgan or you're TNA, and that's exactly what the problem is, Todd, is if they want them, then they're going to get them.
Well, absolutely right there. Like you said, these big signings here, like with Billy Corgan, well, I hope Billy Corgan handles this the right way with his TV deal. With the CW, and you know it's, I just hope they don't get screwed by the CW as well.
Here's one I think Billy Corgan needs to sign, and I know she's trouble, but maybe she's learned her lesson. She's the female CM Punk. I get it. I would give a shot to Tessa Blanchard. AEW clearly doesn't want her in the locker room. And WWE had ample chances to sign her, and they won't. She's a big name. And on top of being a big name, she's very, very good. Now, I don't think Impact or TNA would sign her either. They had their problems with her. So this one, Mike, could be wide open to NWA if they really wanted.
Right. And that's the thing. Now, we'll see what happens if the attitude problems and all that stuff come back to bite her. And the fact of the matter is, now that it looks like her dad is gone from AEW
yep.
as well. So
yep.
We'll see what happens with him. And he could, much like Arn Anderson, he could end up back with the WWE in some form or fashion. Now, Tully Blanchard goes back to the WWE, then he may lobby for his daughter to get back there too. And I still want to see Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte. Still want to see that.
Oh,
but
man.
That's
yeah, me too.
The thing. As far as some of the people that WWE has fired, Tennille Dashwood and Riddick Moss.
Riddick Moss, there you go. That is a very, very, very good suggestion. Riddick Moss is a lot better athlete and a lot better wrestler than people gave him credit for, and he was not given a really good chance. He was given a gimmick that I liked, but, you know, it didn't work out so well. And certainly the former Emma, Tennille Dashwood, make a very good addition. Now, where would I go with them? I'd look for TNA on those guys, I think. I don't know if Riddick Moss is too old school. And I think both of those would do better. Now, I know Tennille Dashwood was already in TNA, and there might be some issues there. I'm not sure. But I think he'd be a better fit there, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I think it would be a better fit there. But again, him being more old school, that would fit nicely with NWA as well. And to my knowledge, what's her name was never Tennille Dashwood was never in NWA. To my knowledge,
no, she wasn't. And the good news is, apparently, there's no interest in AEW in Riddick either. So if that's the case, WWE let him go. AEW doesn't want him. He is wide open for the taking. Where's his buddy, by the way? Where is why am I blanking on his name? The get hyped and stay hyped guy, Mojo. Where's Mojo wrestling now, Todd? Is he wrestling anywhere?
To be honest with you, I don't know where he is. As far as last time I heard, he was still in under the WWE contract or something. I'm not sure.
He's got to be gone by now, Mike. If Mojo's available, that's another good name.
Yeah, that would be a good signing too. But again, even if he's not on the roster, there's the whole thing about, well, we're going to, the whole thing, what did they do with Ted DiBiase? You know, they paid
right.
him not to wrestle, right? So
I know.
So they could be doing the same thing with Mojo Rawley.
They could be. I'll have to check that. I'll have to see if Mojo's still under contract. I don't think he is, though. I don't think he is. There are some people that they can sign. And that's what they're going to have to do, because we can't just pick and say, oh, these guys are going to have a great year in TNA, or these guys are going to have a great year in NWA, because we don't even know who's going to be on their roster for 2024. We're going to find out. But I do know that in AWA, they're going to have to try their best to keep Ricky Starks. They're going to have to try their best to keep MJF. They're going to have to try to cycle up some of their guys, their homegrown guys, because you're not going to be able to rely on 40-some-odd-year-old men and 50-year-old men for a long period of time. 2024 has to be the year that AWA or AEW creates their superstars and puts them front and center. You can't say, well, Chris Jericho is going to have a stellar year. Why? Come on, is he really? Is he really? Christian's going to have a stellar year. Is he really? This is going to be the year of Edge. Really? Putting an awful lot of faith in guys who just like that could be gone. You need to find your guys for the next couple of years and start to give them the stellar year now. And if you do lose those two blue chippers, that's going to be tough. I see a hard 2024 for AEW. They've got some decisions to make. And they're not going to be easy ones. I think they're going to have to cut roster. And I think they're going to have to start separating the 50-year-old guys who are just basically lending their name and nothing else. See, this is the deal. It's almost like AEW is a B-movie. And they say, oh, well, we can hire this actor who's pretty much almost retired and well past his prime, but if we put their name on the marquee, it lends credibility to our movie. Drew Barrymore was in the first Scream. Well, for what? A minute? And whose name did they put on that marquee? Drew Barrymore in Scream. Really? This is why Sean Connery quit the business, because he said that's all they want to do now. They say, well, you got two lines in the movie. We just want your name. We want your name on the marquee. We want your name on the DVD. And he said, I'm not doing that. I'm not licensing out my name. Bruce Willis has been doing that for I don't know how long. You know, Bruce Willis and five guys you never heard of. And then you watch the DVD and Bruce Willis is in it for 40 seconds. But they can put his name on the box. Well, this is the same way with AEW. Just like, oh, we can put this guy's name and this guy's name in a roster and this guy's name. And these are all recognizable names. Yeah, but they're not doing anything. Ton of money not to do anything. I think that kind of has to cease in 2024, in my opinion, Mike.
It really does. And that's the thing. And he needs to pare down his roster to where he can use some of these people. Oh, and by the way, his Raleigh's last match was in 2021. It was in 2021. He was cut loose April of that year. And I don't know if he's been doing anything else in wrestling. So he's been just sitting there doing nothing. So
wow.
He's available for anybody to sign.
I would, if I was Billy Corgan, I would run to that, because Mojo screamed old school wrestling. He was a little slower more methodical, more can punch and that type of stuff. That's totally NWA. Totally. If I was Billy Corgan, I'd go out of my way for that one because he makes a good heel. I did not like the get hype, stay hyped guy too much in NXT or even in WWE. But when they started to try to make him a heel, I thought, hey, this is actually working to an extent. I think if they had ran with it, it would have worked more. So that would be a good one for Corrigan, in my opinion. So we know Mojo's available, I guess, if he's interested in wrestling Todd. I would love to see an NWA acquisition of Mojo Rawley.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that would be a great pick to have on your NWA roster as a good pickup there. He got that old school look. He wrestled old school. And this let him be like himself.
And we forgot one other really big name, Mike, and I know he comes with a ton of baggage. And I don't think AEW wants more baggage, so it might be possible for TNA to get a hold of him. I don't think NWA would. Matt Riddle.
Yep, Matt Riddle, and that's the thing. I mean, look, Matt Riddle is a guy that has that cred of being, you know, MMA and all that stuff. Now, granted, they'd have to figure out a different gimmick because I don't think, you know, I guess a gimmick's a gimmick, but again, you know, and he could probably play that gimmick under another name, but again,
yep.
I could, and you know what? RVD is in TNA, is in Impact. TNA right now. I'd love to see an RVD versus Matt Riddle match.
Yeah, they could do worse than sign him. I mean, look, he is trouble to a certain extent. But he's not CM Punk type trouble. Like, he can rub people the wrong way in the dressing room, but for a different reason. And he comes with that baggage of the drug abuse and stuff. But I'd give him a chance if I was TNA. I'd give him a chance. Only because he's very good on the mic. Very, very good on the mic. He plays a good character. He's very good in the ring. And the fans always took to him. That would be a good acquisition. I mean, you're going to take a risk. You're going to have to give him regular drug testing and all that crapola. And you're taking a risk, and you know you're taking a risk. But it's a calculated risk. And I'd do it if I was TNA. Because I don't think AEW wants him. And we know the WWE let him go. So that basically leaves two. NWA, I don't know if Corgan can afford him. And even if he did, I'm not sure it fits that style that well. TNA, right on the money. Right on the money. So there you go, folks. This is basically what we're looking at for 2024. The WWE is going to start filtering out some of these guys that are getting a little bit older, and they're going to try to bring in some NXT talent. They're going to try to cycle up some guys. We've already told you who we think their future is going to be. We've told you about some acquisitions we think they're going to try to make. AEW, they've got a ton of people in their talent pool to cycle up if they want, but they seem to stubbornly want to keep the 40-some-odd-year-olds on top. That's got to change. Totally got to change. I think their women's division is fairly solid and younger to an extent. I think they could shore that up with one or two good additions, and that'll be fine. NWA and TNA, they're in a different boat. TNA has to do something that's going to make people say, oh, my God, I got to go watch TNA. I hate to say it because I don't like the guy, but if you could sign CM Punk to a very, very limited contract, only has to be front and center for some pay-per-views and a few TV appearances like Brock Lesnar, I would make that move if I was TNA. NWA, you've got an opportunity to bring in some of the guys who maybe haven't got as big a name, so they're not going to be courted for the huge money, like Elias and Mojo Rawley and people like that. Go ahead, give it a shot. They're established names, especially Elias, right? He's going to have to call himself something else. But that's no big deal. And they might have an interesting 2024. It's going to be extremely interesting to see what happens in 2024 because I got news. And it's, as Wade Barrett would say, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. And the bad news is this. With four federations signing TV deals or having TV deals, four on major networks, one's not surviving. Sorry, maybe two, but one's definitely not. And guess what? WWE is surviving. So that's going to leave AEW, NWA, and TNA. Now, NWA is not going to take over the numbers AEW is doing. But don't sleep on TNA. TNA's been to the dance more than once. They have the ability to get big names. They have the ability to get a good TV deal. They have the ability to get their fans back. And if they do, suddenly TNA becomes the alternative everybody thought AEW was going to be, and Tony Khan could be battling a totally different enemy that isn't the WWE. What's your thoughts on that, Mike?
Right. And I recently watched the most recent NWA thing, and I saw that they had 40,000, maybe 45,000 people. Now, if they go from that to on YouTube to CW, and they quadruple that, you know, 40,000 to about 150,000, they're going to be ecstatic, and so will CW for the first year.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of that 3 or 4 year deal, if they're still at, you know, 150,000 or whatever, then CW will relook at that thing after that. But if at the end of that fourth year, whatever it is, they're, instead of being at 150,000, they're at, say, 300,000, then CW is going to be ecstatic.
Yeah, again, we're not expecting the CW to expect NWA to draw a million people. They already know they're not going to do that. They already know they're going to what numbers they're looking for, and it's way, way, way less than that. But still, if you flood the market with too much wrestling, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen here. If you flood the market with WWE on two times a week and premium live events, AEW on three times a week, TNA on once, and now I'm hearing maybe twice, and Billy Corgan signing a deal to not only have it on once, but then having some reality show based on it once. That's twice. That's a lot of wrestling. Potentially 9 shows in 7 days. Think about that for a minute. That's a ton of wrestling. That's glutting the market. And eventually, one of them isn't going to survive that. Because it's just going to be too much, and people are like, yeah, I'm just wrestled out. There's nobody loves wrestling more than me. But I don't know, man, 9 shows in 7 days, and that's not even counting some of the indies that you can watch on other platforms. 9 shows in 7 days? I don't know, man. If you got any kind of life at all, that's very tough. And I just don't think one of them's going to fall. And it may not be NWA. Because NWA, like Mike said, the ratings don't have to be great at all, and the CW is still going to be happy. I think the real battle in 2024 is not going to be, I should say 10 programs because of NXT. The real battle I don't think is going to be between AWA and WWE. I think the real battle is starting to form, and I think that real battle might be TNA and AEW, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. And really, if you look at it, NWA is only going to be on one out of day. Now, I'm not counting that reality show, right? Whereas you look
right.
whereas you look at the WWE, 3 hours for Raw, possibly 3 hours for SmackDown, possible, all right? Possibly 3 hours for SmackDown, 2 hours for NXT, right? That's throwing away the pay-per-views. That's putting the pay-per-views to the side. Then you got AEW, 2 hours, 2 hours for Wednesday night, an hour for Friday night, and 2 hours for Saturday night. That's 5 hours, right? You know, so
yeah.
Think about it. You know, the one that can survive, the two that can really survive, can make hay and survive, is the one with the less amount of time on it, right? Really, you look at TNA, and they're probably going to be a two-hour show, but they're not doing multiple shows, right? They're just
right.
doing the one show. And NWA is only going
to... Yeah, and I don't think AEW... Don't get me wrong. I don't think AEW is going out of business. What I'm trying to say is there's a good possibility that one of their lesser shows goes away. Collision might fall. One of the other shows might go away because it's too much. It's too much. And maybe the one network would say, look, you know, it's just not worth our time for all three of these. We're not getting the ratings. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. I just think that in 2024, AEW should be keeping a close eye on TNA, not so much WWE. WWE's not going anywhere. AEW's never beating them. They're never going to be vying for the same ratings. It's just not happening. TNA, that's a whole other situation, and it is possible. Anyway, thanks for joining us, and we will be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.